afternoon. My name is Carla, and I welcome you on behalf of Seeking Our Inner Being. Today we are happy to be with Iris. Thank you for being with us, Iris, and thank you in advance for your contribution.
Thank you for inviting me.
Iris, can you share, are you in contact with your inner being, and how does it manifest for you?
I think I am, and I'm quite sure I am, in my own way, at least. I'm not always sure how I should call it, whether it's my psychic being, or my soul, or my higher self, or any other side of my inner reality. Yes, I am in contact with it or them. It manifests in my life. It started in 2008 or 2009, I don't remember exactly, when I happened to hear a description that somebody gave about how to contact one's heart. That was the topic, actually. And it hit me. It had such a strong impact on me for some reason that I can't explain. And I went for it. And since then, I've always done that. And I've practiced it very easily since then. And I have integrated it in my meditations and in my practice as a healer. And I have found it absolutely fascinating, because I found it so simple. And that's probably why I could integrate it so easily. What I heard, what was said, and what I did was, it was a description about putting one's awareness, one's attention, into the chest, and then to the middle of the chest, and directing it slightly behind, in the half, which is back, at the back of the organ, heart. So it's basically between the heart and the spine, somewhere. And waiting to notice some movement, some vibration. And this is what I did, and it happened. And this vibration is a bit like a buzz. It's like a very, very, very subtle, like a feather tickling sensation. And it gave me so much joy when I had it, and I couldn't stop doing it, actually, after I discovered that. And it was in the beginning, I needed to be in a meditation, or I needed to be in a specific state of inner quietness, which I am when I do my healing work, a state of concentration where my mind is as still as possible, and I'm focused on something or somebody. And it happened in a way where I could always find it in the same place. It was always located exactly in the same place. So the more I did it, the faster I found it each time, and the stronger it became, little by little. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And after some years, I became, more used to being in contact with it. And I tried out to have it, or to find it also when I was interacting with the outside world in in not particularly focused occasions, mm-hmm. or like when I was talking to somebody or having lunch with somebody or whatever, normal life situations. And little by little, I noticed that it was actually bringing something in the situation. It was adding some benefit. And I had noticed also that in my sessions when I was working, it was like when I contacted it in the beginning of each session, I was like picking up my phone and dialing the number of divine consciousness or something like that and getting divine consciousness on the line. And so, I mean, I really enjoyed doing it. I still enjoy doing it. I had two experiences that were interesting to me, and I'm still not completely sure of what they were, but they were really interesting, where I was witnessing conflicts, two different types of conflicts. One conflict that was in a family where for some reason everybody was shouting at everybody else, not my family, I was a witness, and I didn't really understand what I was doing in that situation, and I was totally helpless because I couldn't, it was happening in Tamil on top of that, so...
it was a physical situation.
It was a physical situation. And I knew the family, and I couldn't do anything, certainly not in Tamil. And anyway, anything that would have been said or added would not have made any difference. So I was standing, witnessing, and asking myself what I was supposed to do. And then I had this idea of contacting that little vibration. And the eldest daughter of this family that I knew well, with whom I had shared this little trick, she was desperate in that quarrel, in that fight, and I asked her to come to close to me, and I said, let's do that, let's make contact with the little vibration, and she said, okay, and we both did it, and the others were still screaming at each other, and suddenly the whole situation turned around in a fraction of a second, and everybody was minding his own business and as if nothing had happened before. And I didn't understand at all what happened, and nobody seemed to notice that something has shifted, and I was very surprised and speechless, actually. And later on, I asked that girl, what happened? Well, how come that it shifted? And she also reacted as if she didn't remember what had happened before. Mm. And what she told me later was that, much later, that they didn't have a conflict in that family for 6 months after that, which was a rare thing.
Yeah.
I understood from her. And so I was really, I don't know, I didn't know what to do with that. I was surprised, and I was wondering, is there something about being in contact like that within? Mm. And is it possible that it has an effect outside, around us, in the vibe of the place or in the vibe of the people around us? And there was also another situation of conflict where I was a witness, not at all involved, and a similar thing happened. I was alone in that situation doing that, and it was a bit longer, it took about 20 minutes, and suddenly all the aggressively screaming people turned around, became normal, and minded their own business. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand what was going on, and I still don't know what really happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I will never know what really happened. But I had question marks. I had doubts. I had, you know, I don't understand. But there is a possibility that it has an effect.
Yeah.
And so after some years, and after these experiences, I was led to create this the Silent Presence Keepers on the basis of this interrogation that I had concerning these two experiences. If ever there is a possibility that doing this has an effect on the surrounding, wouldn't it be useful to do that and to have a team of people doing that, trained in doing that, sitting in meetings or sitting in when you know, conflict resolution conversations happen or meetings are organized for mediation or so. And so I created this group of people who are called the Silent Presence Keepers, who still sit in meetings and do that. So they do that for the whole length of the meeting. And we have had a few experiences that were really almost, I could say, spectacular, where once we had a meeting in Unity Pavilion, and it was at a time where there was a lot of disenchantment in Auroville, and the meeting was supposed to give people the opportunity to speak out their frustration and somehow help them to turn it around. And so it was for a whole day, and in the morning we were all together, and people were complaining and saying, in Orville there's no real communication, there's no real respect among people, and going on and on and on and on and on. And then we were subdivided in groups, and I was there as a Silent Presence Keeper together with the whole team, and we were sitting in the Hall of Peace, and we had set up a circle where we were a core group of Silent Presence Keepers, and we had given the information beforehand that anybody who wanted could come and join us and sit with us, no matter if they were participating in the rest of the meeting or not. Anybody could come sit with us for a given time, up to them, and sit in that kind of meditation. And we did that for the whole day. And it was absolutely amazing how the whole situation turned around. In the evening, everybody was, I mean, so happy and so joyful and so convinced about Auroville being the best place on this planet and they being exactly in their right place in Auroville. And I mean, it was spectacular. We actually, none of us understood how that was possible. Mm-hmm. You know, all these questions. What is there really something? Is it possible? If not, what made that change? We don't know. If it was that, then I would like to know more. I would like to, you know, I mean, but it doesn't happen like this. It's not mentally pursuable, you know. We can't. I have learned that I cannot go on asking questions and receiving answers about it. It'll come little by little through different experiences and situations and timings, and so that's how it usually comes.
Okay. You've actually shared already quite into this area of the next question. But maybe if there's anything else you want to add about what the implication for this connection and contact with your inner being? What does it imply in your daily routine, in your lived life?
Well, I mean, in my work, it's a big part, because not only do I connect in the way I described earlier, but I also share it with the patient in each session. So everybody who comes to me at every session has a moment, the opportunity. I mean, it is given and it is done. It is happening that everybody goes through contacting their inner being in the beginning of the session, of the actual healing part in the session. Not in the spoken part, that's the first half of the session, but in the second session, second half of the session, everybody is led by me to contact the inner being in themselves. The what I call the little vibration, because I don't want to call it the psychic being, because I don't want to stimulate mental labeling and thoughts in people. And for me, it has always been a vibration. But it's not a vibration for everybody. It is, for some people, it's like a big space. It's the sense of a big space in that same location, somewhere between the organ heart and the spine. Or it can be like a pressure. It's like a slight, gentle pressure.
You're referring to what?
What different people experience when I guide them through this step, yes. And some people perceive a little candle flame flickering, the subtle flickering of a candle flame. It's different. I would say what I just described covers about 75% of the people.
But for Iris's daily life?
For my daily life, it's morning and evening. I connect in my meditations. In my work, I double connect. And the work that becomes possible once this connection is established is always surprising, so always amazing to me as well. I mean, something happening that I couldn't describe in words anyway, but it's always amazing.
Okay. So you've already perhaps alluded to this a little bit as well. But do you consider that you had to develop certain abilities to do this, to get this connection, to contact the inner being?
Well, probably yes, in the sense, but I mean very minimal ones, which is the capacity to get in silence within, you know, focusing on inner part of the chest. I have discovered it's not given to anybody like that. It's for some people it is, there is a path reaching that result. And probably myself also, when I was 20 or so, I would not have been able to do that. So that is a prerequisite, I would say. I think that's the only thing. More we don't need.
And Iris, can you share with us a significant moment that's happened in this seeking, in this quest?
Well, I've shared them actually. These are the main significant moments. I have so many in the sessions, you know, when I do my work, I have so many I don't even register them anymore, because anyway, it's gone, it's finished, it's I have almost every week a number of them. Yes.
You referred briefly to when you were younger,
mm-hmm.
and that perhaps there was stages that led, but nothing sort of comes to light, nothing arises for you.
Nothing arises of?
Of the past, of any significant moments leading up to the connection or to what you described before with the heart.
Nothing but what I said about this sudden discovery about 15 years ago, yeah.
Okay. Our final question to explore with you today, Iris, is what about the traps on your path?
Oh, the traps. Yeah. Yeah. The traps, there is one big trap. It's the ego, of course. It's so big. It's all over the place. And it's to believe that one has achieved something, to believe that that's it, to believe that it's to be taken for granted. It is not to be taken for granted. Actually, it's also there is. It's also evolving. It's not anymore in that place. As I described before, it was in one spot. It is not anymore there. So it is evolving, and that brings about situations where one is, where I was wondering, have I lost it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And being worried about it. And so that's also a good reminder for the ego trap, you know? It's not to be taken for granted, no. No, it's like a flower that has to be watered every day, and too much water or too little water just won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That's really a beautiful image. I did want to sort of wrap up by offering, was there anything else that you... any gap you felt in sharing with this framework we've given? Did you have anything else that you wanted to mention to us?
No, that's pretty much okay. It. Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful, Iris, and we thank you so much.
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this testimonial. If you would like to take part in this project on the inner being, or if you have any questions or comments for our team or participants, please feel free to contact us using the email at the bottom of this webpage.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.